We're still in Joshua. My goodness, we're going to be here a while. I hope you like Joshua. Oh, how many chapters is it? 20-something chapters? We're going to be here a while. Stand with me as we look at chapter 6, the first 5 verses. This is a good one today. Jericho. Verse number 1, "And Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shall ye do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him." God, we're in awe. We can't imagine what this scene must have been like. We can't imagine being one of those children of Israel and compassing that massive fortified city and those huge walls that no one went in and no one came out. That God, it was impenetrable. They couldn't advance on this city of Jericho. But we know God that you're able to do things we can only dream of. God, you have such a plan for us, such a vision for us. You have so many things that you want us, even as a small church here in East Tennessee. God, there are walls that you're going to knock down for us. God, there are things that you're going to open up to us that we can't do within our own strength. But God, we're believing you to be a God of great and mighty works. So God, today I ask you to forgive me and cleanse me of my sins. Help us, God, to be the people you want us to be today. Help us to get a hold of this message, of this passage of Scripture, that God will choose today to believe in you and all the things you have set aside for us. We pray these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. We asked you last week if you trust God, and today it kind of leans sort of like that, but it's almost like, do you really believe God? Do we really believe God? Do you really believe Him? Do you believe God? There's probably countless messages that have been preached on the walls of Jericho. So again, when I preach or when I teach, I typically am not going to tell you anything new that you don't already know or you haven't already heard. So if you came here looking for a new revelation, you might as well just go on home. Wait, but you can't. We got you locked in. You can't go, so sorry. So you just got to hang around. But we're just going to look through this passage of Scripture and just think about, reflect on what an amazing event it must have been to see those walls come straight down. And Tim did a study on that once. How wide were those walls? Do you remember? It was like two miles around, and I don't know how tall they were. Well, they were big enough for Rahab's house to be built on it. It tells you right there it's a pretty good-sized wall. It's not just a little fence that somebody tacked up. So, and for these things to come, it said they fell down flat. So they, and I'm believing that they all fell inward flat into the city, because it said that all the people, when they blew the ram's horns, when they blew the trumpets, and all the people shouted, that they went, every person, they literally had the city surrounded, and every person went straight right into the city. So there wasn't even a small section. You know, if you see a wall fall down, there'll be certain areas that'll still remain standing along the way. No, he said every section of that wall fell flat, and they went straight way up into that city. I'm telling you, that must have been an event. I hold that one up there to the old Red Sea. I've got 2 or 3 of them on my list that I think are pretty amazing things. I would like to have seen those things happen. So when we think about it, we think about what happened. Let's go back and read a couple more verses here and kind of recapture the story. Let's look at some things that God shared with His people and some things I believe that God expected and demanded out of His people. Verse number 2 said, "The Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and all the mighty men of valor." What God is doing here, and this, when we read chapter 5 and we finished up with the captain that came, that captain, I believe, was the Lord Himself coming to share with Joshua the plan that we're reading about in chapter 6. The words that he heard from the Lord came down to him while Joshua met and talked with that captain. And so he shared with him, here's the plan. God, listen, God always, not most of the time, but God always has a plan. He always has a plan. What kind of God is He if He doesn't have a plan? We live lives, though, that sometimes we live as though we don't think God has a clue. Because I take too much on myself. I take too many decisions on myself. I put myself in, and I get involved in my life and my process more than I should. I need to pray a whole lot more and trust a whole lot more and believe a whole lot more. But we think we're intellectual. We think we're smart enough to handle things. But God always has a plan. When God knew that there was going to come a day, they were going to come out of the bondage that they were in, and they were going to be set free, 70 years of captivity, God knew that there was going to be a time they were going to be free. So God had already planned and prepared for that. He'd already made a way for them to come out. He said He prepared the heart of Ezra. He'd already prepared the heart of Ezra to go down and to preach the Word of God to make sure that not only are these people going to be ready and skilled to rebuild this city, to rebuild those walls, to get that temple back up, get those things going, but He said He had prepared the heart of Ezra to go and preach to those people the Word of God. He wanted to make sure they heard the most important thing. God had a plan to get the Word of God into the hearts of the people. God put in the heart of Nehemiah and prepared him to come and rebuild that wall. We did a lot of talking, Scotty and I, about the youth trip coming up and some things they're going to discuss there. But God has always prepared people for certain events. If I had a God that kind of shot from the hip on everything, I don't know if I want to serve that God. Do you really? I mean, I tend to do that sometimes. We tend to do that sometimes. But I want to serve a God that has, listen, I want to serve a God that is the whole package. I want to serve a God that has it all together. I want to serve a God that knows exactly what's going on and already envisions what needs to be done. You know the God I serve? I serve a God that is already in tomorrow. I serve a God that's already in the end because He actually brought a revelation that we're studying on Wednesday nights to John and said, here's what's going to happen. He's already there and He already sees it and He's already experiencing it. God has a plan. God's made people and prepared people for these events. And I went back and asked Dr. Buckner, made sure I got the words right. Is it in Zambia? A group of men there, young Christian men in Zambia, they put a little video together. His dad is over there and Michelle's dad is over there. Ministering to those people, and they were talking about the creation of the world and how things were going, and said, God, Father, Son, Spirit all got together and said, we need to have somebody to go and die for the world so people can be saved. And said, Jesus stood up and said, me, I'm ready. So God already had a plan. Before the foundation of the world, God had a, before He ever even created us, thought about creating us, He knew as soon as He created us, what we were going to do, we were going to sin against Him. We were going to be a problem to Him. So what did God do? He said, I got to have a plan for these people to be redeemed because we know they're a bunch of knuckleheads. We know they don't have a clue what they're doing. And we know they're going to all die and go to hell unless we do something. So Jesus said, me, I'm ready. Jesus planned and prepared in His heart before He was ever born into that physical body to die on that cross. He said, I am going and I'm going to die. I'm willing. I love the fact that God always has a plan for you and I. Now, let's add to that plan. If God has a plan, then what needs to happen next? I think we need to believe the plan, don't we? We need to choose to believe the plan. Joshua 6:3 says this, and ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. We've got to exercise faith in Christ. I mean, I know we throw that word around, faith, faith. Everybody has faith. Everybody's got plenty of faith. We got the measure of faith. God gives us all the faith we need. Well, that's all well and good, but what are you doing with the faith that you've got? What are you doing with your faith? We're given what faith we need. The situation is, what are you doing with it? You know something? We're putting our faith in something or somebody. You might be putting yours in your bank account. Bring that up. That thing, numbers are looking pretty good in there, huh? So we might put our faith and confidence in our numbers at the bank. We might put our faith in people. We might put our faith in ourselves. But we're known to put our faith in a lot of things that are not really going to benefit us or be beneficial to us. What God is screaming to us today is, would you please just put your faith in me? Would you put your faith in me? Would you choose to believe my plan? A lot of people want to try to work their way into heaven. They want to do deeds. They want to, Naaman wanted to go into the raging river to dip 7 times rather than dip in that old still calm water of the Jordan. He wanted to feel like he had something to do with that healing and that restoration. We're the same way. We want to have something to do with it. We want to bring ourselves into it. All God really asks of us is this: just simply believe my plan. Just believe it. Salvation is so simple, isn't it, for us? Salvation's complicated for God. Well, nothing's complicated for God. You know what I mean. The complexity of salvation and the intricate details that are involved in salvation, that's all God's part. You know what our part is? Believe it. Simply believe it. In order for you to be a child of the King, in order for you to be of a royal priesthood, in order for your sins to be washed clean, listen, not just the sins you've committed up to this point, but every sin you will ever commit must be washed away. They're all washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. All we have to do is choose to believe in Him. It's a conscious decision that we make. We must deal with the cross. I mean, God forces us before we die, in order for someone to be condemned to hell, they must face the cross and deal with it. So that choice has to be made before death. Once we've made aware of our sins, the cross presents itself. The death and sacrifice of Christ presents itself. The glorious resurrection and ascension presents itself, that God says through the power of the Holy Spirit, I've made a way for you to be saved and for you to be forgiven and cleansed and to know that heaven will be your home. You just got to choose to believe in that plan. Do you believe in the plan? Are you saved? Do you know without a shadow of a doubt you're going to heaven? My goodness, when I was 7 years old, Spirit of God came and hit me in the back of the head playing out in the yard. And I was under conviction. I went running to Mom and Dad and asked them, what does it mean to be saved? I'd heard all those stories, but all of a sudden those stories made sense to me. Jesus wasn't just saying for the world that He was going to die, but He told me that day, for you, David, I'm dying for you so you could be saved. And so I got under conviction. I called on the name of the Lord. A 7-year-old kid, did I know some of the Bible stories? Sure, I knew the big ones. I knew the big stories. I could probably even tell them and come close to being pretty accurate on the details because I'd spent 7 years in church and 7 years of Bible schools. But it didn't matter what I had done, where I had been, or who I was. What mattered was this. I had to choose at that moment in my life to believe God. And I chose to believe God. That belief in Jesus Christ saved my soul. I think it's wonderful that He does give us the measure of faith so that we can turn right around and put that faith right back in Him. He even does that part. Very little we do in regard to salvation. I think the only thing we really can do is reject the natural process of being saved. Naturally, God wants us to be saved. It's natural for us that when we're under conviction to embrace that conviction and be saved. God designed us that way with the emptiness, with that longing. And so when that fulfillment comes, to embrace that fulfillment, the part we play in salvation, which is basically nothing, is that we can reject it when it's offered to us. If you're going to be saved, you believe in Jesus Christ because He gives you the faith that you can believe in Him. Joshua 6, 6 and 7. I love this. Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and he said unto them, take up the Ark of the Covenant and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said, the people pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. So in the plan that God has to conquer Jericho, actually I want to go back and read. Let me back up and read verse 5 too, because this is adds to it. It shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with a ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat. The people shall ascend up every man straight before him. Those of us looking here back at the city of Jericho and its fall, we go, man, that's awesome. Isn't that great? Blow the ram's horn. Blow the trumpets. Shout! The walls fall in. We think it's the coolest thing ever. How would you like to be one of the children of Israel? You know what you're going to say? You're going to say, this is probably the nuttiest thing I've ever heard of in my entire life. So, not only do we need to believe the plan, we've got to sort of commit. We've got to commit to that. We've got to think that God's not crazy in what God's telling us to do. Have you ever thought God was a little bit crazy? Hey, go ahead and admit it. I know you have. I know we've all thought, because if we've ever questioned God before, we've thought God might be a little bit crazy. God gets us together. He said, all right, Joshua, come on. Bring it in, Joshua. Here's what we're going to do. We got across the Jordan. We talked about circumcision last week. Okay, I'm not going to go back there again. But your men are starting to get their strength back. Jericho right here, massive fortified city. Here's the plan. We get all your military men, all your men that carry whatever they're carrying, spears, arrows, whatever they got, pitchforks, bring it. We're going to get all those men together. We're going to let them march up front. Joshua's probably dialed in thinking, this is going to be awesome. Then he said, we're going to carry the ark behind them. Then we're going to have some men in the back just to sort of defend the back part of the children of Israel. But I'm going to have all my priests with some ram's horns. You know what a ram's horn is? It's a ram's horn. Cut it. And they're going to blow on these ram's horns. And we got trumpets. People are going to play trumpets. We're bringing in the brass band for this one. And they're going to walk and they're going to play music for 7 days. And then you know what's going to happen? We're going to shout, and they're all coming down. What do you do with something like that? You say, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard of. But listen, this is not some made-up story that we're watching on the Disney Channel. This is Bible. This happened. God literally told Joshua, we're going to shout and the walls are coming down. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard of. Why does God do us that way? Have you ever wondered that? Why does God do me that way? Why does God tell me to do crazy stuff that makes no sense? or it seems to us to make no sense. Why does God put us in a situation that He leads me to do something that I wouldn't normally or wouldn't naturally do? Why do you do me that way, God? Here's why. Here's the answer to that question and every other time that God's put something on us, because He wants to see where your faith is. He wants to see if you really do believe Him. He may ask you to give everything you've got away. Does that sound crazy to you? Oh, that sounds real crazy to me. God may just call you to go next door to your neighbor and say, I want you to go over there and introduce yourself. I know you've lived across from them for 30 years, but you've never had a relationship with them. And it's time you go over there and let them know you're a Christian and you're praying for them and invite them to church. You say, why would I want to go do that now? I should have done it 30 years ago. Well, yeah, you probably should have, but God's going to tell us to do, from our perspective, some crazy stuff. I mean, He told Jehoshaphat He had people from Moab, from Ammon, and Mount Seir, three different groups that were setting up an advancement to attack them in Judea. God huddled again. All right, Jehoshaphat, here's what we got. Here's what we're going to do. You got a lot of people that are going to come and try to kill you. Here's the plan. You get your people together, and you have a singing. You have a Friday night singing. No, Saturday night singing. Saturday night's better. We're fired up for Sunday morning. You have a Saturday night singing, and we're going to win. I mean, literally, that is the craziest thing ever. But you know what happened? They started singing. You know what happened? God caused an ambushment between the three groups to where they got so mad at each other, they literally killed each other. Probably the last two guys standing had a spear and just in each other, and they both fell over. Very dramatic. I'm sure it was very dramatic. But the things God will lead us to do, the things God will call us to do, will amaze us. What we've got to do is we've got to commit to that plan that God has for us. And understand this. The reason God's telling us to do some of those strange and unusual and uncommon for us things is because God is testing our faith, and because God knows that a huge blessing awaits us if we obey. And not just us, but those that He's leading us to affect. Think about it. Think about as they marched 6 days, they marched one time around. And you know what they did the whole time they marched around? They blew the ram's horn. They blew the trumpet. They were making music the entire time they marched around. For 6 days, these people up here in the city of Jericho, now they had locked the doors. Nobody gets in, nobody gets out. And they're up here in their homes. What are they hearing about midday? They're hearing them people playing that crazy music. What does that do to them? You know what it did to them? It struck fear in the hearts of everybody that lived in Jericho. Rahab had already told them, hadn't she? She said, we knew about you guys 40 years ago. We were terrified of you then. Now, imagine, they've crossed the Jordan on dry ground. Now they're marching around our city every day. Every day that they heard that music, they're thinking, chills come all over their bodies. What in the world are they going to do? How are they going to come in here? What's going to happen? They were terrified. Listen to this. Your faithfulness can strike fear in the enemy. Why did God not just do it all in one day? Why didn't He just make them march around 7 times one day and the walls fall down? I think because He wanted them to see the power of their faith. To see their faithfulness was going to strike fear in the hearts of their enemy. I wonder if some of the people by day 7, about that 5th, 6th trip around, I wonder if some of those people at Jericho weren't saying, oh, just come on and just bring the walls down. Don't prolong it anymore. We're beat. We're defeated. It's believing and committing to the plan. God told Joshua to stay down here and fight those Amalekites. Moses, Aaron, and Ur were up top. And here's what God said. He said, all right, here's how we're going to win this battle. Moses, hold your hands up. As long as your hands up, we win. Again, one of the craziest things we've ever heard of. But it all had to do with committing and being faithful to what it is that God's telling us to do. All right, next. Joshua chapter 6, verse 15 and 16. I like this. Came to pass on the seventh day that they rose up early about the dawning of the day, and they compassed the city after the same manner seven times, though. So we marched one time a day for 6 days. Seventh day, we marched seven times, which is how many? 13 trips. That's that old unlucky number 13. Pretty lucky for Israel, I'd say. Only on that day they compassed the city seven times. And it came to pass on the seventh time when the priests blew the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city." What if they had gone around 4 days and some of the people said, "Well, you know what? How many more times we got to do this? 7 days? Really, God? Are you sure?" What if some of them about day six said, "I don't know. Hey, my feet are really hurting. I don't know that I can make 7 trips in 1 day. Can I just set this one out?" You know what it took? It took everybody getting on board and believing in what God had said. It took everybody committing to what God's plan was. It took us saying this, "I'm not going to stop at 6 when God said 7 days, we got to be marching around Jericho." God's saying, "I don't like quitters when it comes to being in a relationship with me." Is it difficult to be a child of God? Listen, it's difficult to be anybody, isn't it? It's more difficult for the people that are not saved because they're going to die and go to hell. At least we know we have the security of the Holy Spirit that lives within us. We have the confidence of knowing one day we're going to be at home with the Lord. The things you face for one reason, because you do belong to Jesus Christ. That's why we face and deal with the things that we do. So don't use an excuse of, "I'm not equipped, I'm not ready, I'm not qualified, I'm not whatever." Everything that you and I lack, God has in abundance. Isn't that good? You don't have to have every gift, every spiritual gift. Why? Because God's got them all. I know that each man's given certain gifts, each person is given certain spiritual gifts, but the thing about it is, God can choose to fill you with a particular gift at any given time according to what He wants you to do. You may have a tendency toward a certain set of skills and abilities and talents, but God is the master of them all, and He can put you in any situation and give you everything you're ever going to need. So He's pleading with us today, don't stop on day 6. Don't quit on me. You continue to go through the long haul. You continue to plug in and follow God as long as it takes. What did Paul say when he was ready to die? "I've finished my course. I've kept the faith." Wow. How many people can say that besides Paul? How many people down through history can actually say when they died, "I have kept the faith. I finished my course and I have kept the faith"? I don't know if I can say that. I've not demonstrated faith a lot in my life since I've been saved. But I want to be a person from this day, from today, to the day I see Jesus. I want that to be said of me, don't you? I want to be able to say, I've been as faithful to you, God, as I possibly can. Because in the faithfulness rests blessings and peace. All the fruit of the Spirit, all 9 elements of the fruit of the Spirit are there and ripe and ready for us to digest. For those of us that are committed for the long haul to be around that 7th trip on the 7th day and be one of those people. Listen, I want to be one of those people that when Joshua says, "Shout," I want to be one of those people that shout. We're going to all shout on 3. Ready? Give me your best one. 1, 2, 3. Woo! Whew, I got a little bit of chills right there. That's good. We've scared the babies to death. Oh, my goodness. Bless his heart. Stelly, do not be mad at Preacher David. Stelly forgives Preacher David. I should have put a warning up before we did the shout. I didn't know it was coming. It just kind of came out. I'm going to tell you what, though. Somewhere, there are some walls that came down right there, I believe. It's when we get a hold and believe and move on what God's telling us to do, walls come down. I mean, God wants to bring them down in your life. He wants to bring them down in my life. And I'm going to finish up with these last few verses that seal the deal right here. Joshua 6, beginning in verse 23. And the young men that were spies went in, and they brought out Rahab. We haven't forgot about old Rahab, have we? Brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred, and they left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire and all that was therein. Only the silver, the gold, the vessels of brass and iron they put in the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the hearted alive in her father's house and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even to this day. Or the writing of this word is when he's saying, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Wow. You talk about a promise keeper. God literally kept the exact word that he said he was going to keep. He said, I'm going to bring those walls down when you shout, when I tell you to shout. And that's exactly what God did. God kept his promises. In John chapter 14 and verse 1, he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, but I go to prepare a place for you. Think about this. This is the commitment. If we choose to commit, God also chooses to commit. And if I go and prepare a place for you, listen to what he said. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Wow, you talk about keeping promises. The walls came down exactly the way they were going to. Rahab and her family was saved at the word of the Lord. I'm saved at the word of the Lord. And he will keep every promise he's committed to me. He will keep every promise that he's committed to you. His word is sure. His word is true. The question today, as we stand and as we have prayer to get ready for our invitation, is this. Do you, in your heart of hearts today, really believe God? Do you believe him? Do you believe him enough to where you're committed to him to the long haul? Let's pray. Father, as we come to you this morning, wow, what a spirit in the house today. What a sweet spirit. We know you're here, God. We know you're moving and you're working. We pray, God, for you to have freedom right now in this moment and this time of invitation, that you draw to the altar today those that need to be here. That you stir hearts, God, of us, that sometimes we're not as committed as we should be. Sometimes we're not as faithful as we should be. We're not believing as we should. The man that came to you, Jesus, he said, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. He was a believer in you, but God, he doubted. And we pray today, God, as we are that same kind of person. We believe you for salvation. But sometimes it's hard to obey you. Sometimes it's hard to commit to that strange and unusual plan. God, give us courage today. Help us to stand up today and be counted. Help us to be counted as your children, because we know, God, you have a great plan for us, and help us to be in a position that it'll be fulfilled. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.